Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to LombardiEv.com, the Packers Sports Panel Show, here on Blog Talk Radio, where for the next 30 minutes, we will be talking about everything Green Bay Packers for as much as our time allows. Hello, everybody. I'm your host, Davey Miller, and welcome to the show. Joining me on today's show is LombardiEv.com staff writer Patrick Hughes, Fansided.com's Doug Ayton, and our own producer, Raymond T. Rivard. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. And Raymond, let me start off with you. Are you here, Ray? Who's 715 area code? Ray?
That's me and Ray this morning, Davey. This is Doug.
Oh, okay. Well, Doug, let me start it off with you then. And I wanted to get this on last Tuesday, and I was not able to do it, so I want to start off right out of the gate, give an acknowledgement to this, and I'll ask you your thoughts. I got to give kudos to Mason Crosby. He set an NFL record for scoring his first seven seasons in the league. I mean, no one else has done what he's done, so let's give him a little acknowledgement before we move on in the show. Doug, your thoughts on Mason Crosby and his accomplishment?
Well, obviously the accomplishment speaks for itself in the fact that nobody else has done what he's done in that time period. And, you know, you take into account, you know, the location of where he is playing, I think it probably only puts a little asterisk next to it in a good way, because he's taking in probably some of the most poor conditions of anybody that you could imagine. You know, playing outside in Green Bay, you know, as many times as he does, and then having to go to Soldier Field at least once a year. You know, he does kick inside of two domes. Granted, he plays in Minnesota and Detroit, so sometimes you take that into effect. But, you know, going into the season, of course, after the year that he had last year, all the questions going in and the competition in the preseason between, you know, him and a couple of candidates they brought in, it was a good mental test for Mason Crosby. And, you know, kickers have proved to be those mental type of people where, you know, coaches call timeouts for a reason, and that's to mess with the kicker's head. And if anything, this has proved that mentally, I think Mason Crosby is probably one of the strongest individuals Green Bay's got on their team.
Yeah, he certainly rebounded from a subpar, un-Mason-like Crosby season last year. The team stuck with him. They had signed him to a multi-year contract the year before. Good guy, all-around good guy, strong kicker. They started out using Mastay as in the kickoffs earlier in the season. Now Mason Crosby's doing it. I don't know if that was to rest Crosby earlier in the year. Now he's got that full-time duty back, or what the reason was that Mastay is no longer kicking off. But, yeah, we just got to give kudos to Mason Crosby, what he accomplished. And as you mentioned, Doug, no one has done that. So, great job, Mason Crosby. Now, Doug, are you saying Raymond is with you on the same phone line?
Yeah, we're sitting in the same room. It's not just a figment of my imagination anymore. He's actually a real human being.
Well, let me ask Raymond T. then this question. Ray, are you there?
I am, Davey. Hey, Davey, can I just ask a question about Mason Crosby?
Okay.
It's wonderful what he has done over the years. I think, you know, like Deb said, kicking in the cold environment has been, you know, a real kudos to that guy. The question I have is, if he's scoring so much, what's happening with the Packers' offense in the red zone?
No, because you're talking over a seven-year period. It's because the Packers have a high-scoring offense where he has a position to kick field goals. High-scoring offenses, they don't score touchdowns all the time, but they move the ball. And I don't think that's an indictment on the Packers' red zone offense at all that he's done this. I think it's the opposite. I think it shows that the Packers are a high-powered offense. And when they need it, they got a high-powered kicker. That would be my...
It's kind of like having your safety be the leading tackler on the team. You wonder about the rest of the defense. But that's just a question I had.
Well, Raymond, let me ask you this one. We got to give another acknowledgement as well for an all-time Packer record. Last Sunday, Eddie Lacy broke the rookie rushing touchdown record, breaking Sam Congado's mark of 6 rushing touchdowns back in 2005. Eddie Lacy plowed through the line for a 1-yard touchdown last Sunday against Atlanta to give him 7 rushing touchdowns with 3 to go. That's a rookie rushing touchdown record. Raymond, your thoughts on Eddie Lacy and his importance to the team this season?
Boy, what more can anybody say about the guy? He's a beast. He's probably the best power running back in Green Bay since the days of Jim Taylor and John Brockington. He carries players for 4 or 5 yards. He's one of the best that we've seen in a long time, and hopefully he can stick around injury free for many years to come. He's definitely one of the key cogs to the Packers offense this year, which brings up the issue of whether he will play this week. We all know that he sat out yesterday. I think he's expected to sit out again today. They say he's in rehab, whatever that means. So whether he plays in Dallas, it's going to affect the Green Bay Packers immensely. I know they've been working with Khalil Bell, and hopefully if Eddie Lacy does not play, Bell can be called. Bell can answer the bell. How's that? Eddie Lacy has been one of the best additions to the Green Bay Packers in many years, and hopefully he'll be around for many years to come.
And then Patrick Hughes, we also have on the dais this morning. Good morning, Patrick. How are you doing?
Hey, good morning, Davey. I'm doing fantastic. How about yourself?
Now you're way up in Portland, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm out in the Northwest in Portland, and experiencing some.
So are you 2 hours? Are you 2 hours behind us?
Yeah, bright and early. It's 6:30 in the morning here.
Oh well, we certainly appreciate your sacrifice. Although I get up at 5 o'clock myself every morning, but some people don't get up that early. But Patrick, let's go back to the game last Sunday against the Atlanta Falcons. And we were just talking about Eddie Lacy. On Sunday, he had 20 carries for 65 yards, a 3.3-yard average, and scored his 7th touchdown. Part of that success was the offensive line played at least better than they had played the previous few weeks. What's your thoughts on the offensive line and how they played against the Falcons?
Well, on face value, just looking at the stats, it looks like they really didn't play that well. The Packers gave up 5 sacks. Lacy had a pretty good game on the ground. You know, he was kind of a little bit of a slugfest, and Atlanta doesn't have a real strong pass rush. They were known for their front 7 to be not all that strong. So on face value, it doesn't look like the offensive line fared all that well. But I would say that one thing that I noticed in watching the game is that Matt Flynn has a tendency to hold the ball a little bit longer than we're accustomed to with Aaron Rodgers. And although Rodgers does a little bit of the same thing, in recent time he's been getting rid of the ball, or at least getting it out of his hands, so not to take a sack. So the offensive line, I think they played all right. I think Flynn needs to get through his reads a little bit faster and get rid of the ball, and that might alleviate some of the sacks. So I think they played all right. In kind of as a comparison for this coming week's game, I was looking at some of the offensive and defensive rankings between the Atlanta Falcons and the Dallas Cowboys, and they're two teams that are very similar in terms of in statistically anyways. The Dallas Cowboys are actually tied for the Atlanta Falcons for 27th in sacks on the season. And so that tells me that they don't have a very strong pass rush, and the Packers, provided the offensive line plays like they were at the beginning of the season, if we're kind of seeing it come full circle here, which as a Packer fan, I hope that's the case. I think going into the Dallas game, we can expect that the offensive line does play better against as it's becoming well known, a very poor Dallas defense. The one thing that concerns me is that they get that fire lit underneath them, and they come in and their backs are against the wall. They're desperate. Their defensive coordinator, Monty Kiffin, was kind of called on the carpet by Jerry Jones earlier this week. So I would tend to think that Dallas is going to try to do some blitzes, try to mix it up to try to put some pressure on the quarterback. So that will be a test on the Packer offensive line. But, you know, to kind of come back and answer the question, I think the offensive line played better than the statistics show, and I think Matt Flynn needs to get rid of the ball a little bit faster. And I think both of those, you know, if Flynn is our quarterback this week, I think what you're going to see is a progression. Flynn's having more time to get settled into the offense. The offensive line is getting used to him playing behind them. And in my green and gold glasses, I think we're moving forward.
Well, yeah, I think I can agree with you on that as well. And then I wanted to ask Doug, it seemed like the whole team played better last week, and that was a total team win. It wasn't just the play of the quarterback or the running back or the line or the defense. I think it was just everybody. And flipping over to the defense, Doug, especially in that second half, not only was the defensive line playing the best it's played since Aaron Rodgers went down, the defensive backs and safeties kind of came up big as well. Your thoughts on the defensive play Sunday against Atlanta, Doug?
Well, you know, it kind of always comes under scrutiny, the defensive backfield, especially when you take a look at the final play. It was kind of a microcosm, I thought, of the entire game. You know, Jarrett Bush, let's face it, if Jarrett Bush doesn't break up that last pass with Tony Gonzalez, which I thought was probably a little bit of a poor pass on Matt Ryan's part. I think if he puts it out in front of him away from the defense, he probably catches it. Almost came up with the catch regardless. But if Jarrett Bush doesn't break that up, Atlanta probably wins that football game, and we're looking here at a different, you know, setup coming into this week. You know, Clay Matthews is starting to demand a little bit more attention now after coming back a few weeks after his injury. I think I read a stat here this morning where he was double-teamed on almost 50% of the plays by the Atlanta offensive line last week, which really frees up our defensive line and our other linebackers to do what they do best, and that's make plays in space. You know, I think consistency-wise, we're starting to see a little bit more of a even keel from those players that we expect to, you know, give that type of performance week in and week out. You know, M.D. Jennings is starting to make a little bit of a case for himself in the defensive backfield. You know, Sam Shields still a little bit, though, I think, has to fall on his shoulders, where he has to make those big plays when he's asked to make those big plays. And let's face it, in the type of league that we're starting to see this year, a lot of that one-on-one shutdown corner coverage comes called upon week in and week out. And if you've got a guy who can lock down on a team's receiver, whether it be this week Dez Bryant or, you know, a couple of other candidates that come out of the Dallas Cowboys wide receiving core, you need to concentrate on those matchups, and you need to win those matchups defensively if your team's going to stand a chance. So I think last week defensively we really made some good strides, and I think it was because, you know, some of our key players are starting to step up and draw a little bit more attention to themselves. Now, can we continue that this week will be a really, I think, the question to ask and see whether or not we can build upon our defensive performance last week and make those big plays in those one-on-one matchups when we're given the opportunity.
Yeah, you definitely got a point there, and it's certainly going to be more the same this week if we expect to go into AT&T Stadium and fly out of Texas with a win. Now, Raymond, the Packers had an 18-play touchdown drive in the first half. It was their longest drive since early in the season in 2004. Can we draw anything from that going into the Cowboy game? I mean, that unfortunately, I didn't get to see that live, Ray, and you'll appreciate this. My DVR recording didn't set, and I missed the whole first quarter. And I know you've given me grief about that before, and today, last Sunday, it came to fruition. I did watch it on replay a couple of days later, so now I can talk about it a little bit more intelligently. But what an exceptional 18-play touchdown drive for Matt Flynn and the offense. Take it, Ray. Tell us your thoughts on that drive. What did it show you? What did it tell you about the Packers?
Well, it was classic Green Bay Packer December football. I think Eddie Lacy had almost half of those yards running on the ground and through the air and scored the touchdown. So, number one, it shows just how important, as we were talking about before, that Eddie Lacy is to this offense. He pounds out yards, he wears down defenses, and that kind of that drive kind of just describes how the Packers have evolved this year from a quick strike through the air offense to a grind it out, make the defense pay type of offense. So. Whether they can continue to do that against the opponents they have coming up remains to be seen. And, of course, whether Eddie Lacy plays remains to be seen. So, yeah, that was a pretty impressive drive, I thought. It occupied just about the entire first quarter, and that's the kind of offense that the Packers need at this point in this season to win ball games, so I hope they continue.
Yeah, and as we all do as well, that was certainly an impressive drive, and boy, it'd be nice if we had the lead in the fourth quarter and be able to put something like that together to just close out a win. So that gives us something positive to think about going into this Cowboy game. And now, fellas, we're going to talk about something here that I think all of Packer Nation wants to talk about. And that's the playoff picture. I'm a simple man. I like to use the KISS method whenever I can. The KISS method is keep it simple, stupid. And that's what I like to do for myself and for my readers. And here's how I have boiled down the playoff scenario for the Green Bay Packers. Over the next three games, the Detroit Lions need to lose once. The Green Bay Packers need to win out. That's it. We win the division. We host the playoff game in the first round. Pretty simple. Patrick, talk about the playoffs. What do you think the chances are the Packers getting into the playoffs? And your thoughts on what I said about the playoff scenario. Go ahead, Patrick. We're going to talk playoffs, and all of you can just speak freely about anything you want to talk about regarding the Packers and the playoff picture. Starting off with you, Patrick.
Well, I think you're right on the money. Just Packers just need to win, and we need Detroit to do what Detroit so often does, and that's lose in the second half of the season. Just a little public service note: the Lions are 5-16 in the second half of the season since 2011. So we do stand a fair chance of them doing us a favor and losing a game. You know, the Packers and the Cowboys, kind of coming back to this week's game, are in similar situation. They both have to essentially win out to have any chance at the playoffs. And what I was noticing as I was, you know, looking ahead at this coming game and looking at what they were talking about in Dallas, and they're hitting the panic button. They're very concerned down there. There's a lot of turmoil. Whereas the Packers, you know, despite all of our problems, Aaron Rodgers being out, a lot of injuries, defense not playing well, for the most part, you know, Mike McCarthy's adage of keep calm and carry on seems to be holding true. So, and I think the reason that is the veterans on the Packers offense, you know, they know that in the playoffs it's a second season and it starts all over and anything can happen. And what their mindset is, come on, we need Matt Flynn to just pull out a few, just keep us alive, scrape out a few wins, because when Aaron Rodgers comes back, it's going to be like Frosty the Snowman putting that old silk hat he found back on his head. You know, there'll be thumpity-thump-thump-thumpity-thump-thump all the way into the playoffs. And but in order to get there, they need Matt Flynn to win, I think, one more ball game, and then we're going to hopefully see the magic of Aaron Rodgers play out in the playoffs.
So let me ask you this, before I get over to the kissing cousins over there, let me ask you this. Are the Packers going to make the playoffs, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. All right, talking with Doug and or Raymond, whichever one of you want to take it first. Tell us about your thoughts on the Packers' chances to make the postseason.
Well, this is Doug here, Davey. Let's face it, if the Packers don't go to Dallas and take care of business this weekend, you might as well forget about it. You know, we really need to worry about what's on our plate first before we start worrying about what everybody else is doing. You know, Ray and I were just kind of talking here during that last set. We were saying, it's going to come down to that last week of the season, week 17. And, you know, I can see everybody in Lambeau Field sitting around looking at the boards wondering what's going on over there in Minnesota. You know, what's going on there with the Detroit Lions in Minnesota? Because inevitably I think it's going to come down to that final week, and it's going to take a Minnesota victory over Detroit in order for us to get into the playoffs. If that doesn't happen, I think those are probably the two matchups that you look at after this week, after we get through Dallas. You know, I'm not so concerned with Pittsburgh. You know, hopefully, like Patrick was saying, we get Aaron Rodgers back next week, and it's not as big of a, you know, red flag on the schedule anymore. But then again, you can't necessarily look through anything if you're the Green Bay Packers either. You have to take things week by week. But we don't have that luxury, of course, as players. We are members of the media, so we always look ahead. But, you know, week 17, I think, is probably the one that I'm highlighting on my schedule, and you might as well put me in a bomb shelter for three straight hours, because I'll be bouncing off the room, off the walls like I'm in a rubber room that day, I'm sure. So I'm sure Ray probably has got something to say on that, too. So.
Yeah.
Boy, I'll tell you go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, I agree completely with Doug that everything, you know, everybody says it's out of the Packers' hands. Well, it's not. It's they have to win every one of their games, and that's the only way that they can have any chance of getting into the playoffs, aside from, you know, a Christmas miracle. So, yeah, you're right. You know, they just have to win, take care of their own business, and if they do that, then they're in.
Now, I didn't get a chance to ask Doug, but I'm going to ask both of you, Doug and Raymond T. Are the Packers going to make the playoffs?
You know, Davey, I'm always an optimist. At least I try to be, especially early in the morning. But you know what? It's really going to be tough. You know, you take a look at this team and how many corners they've painted themselves into now, and you know, the glaring one, of course, is that game against Minnesota, you know, if we come out of that game with a win, I just think that our chances here are a lot better. Obviously, then it comes down to the interdivisional record because we've split with Detroit. But, you know, I think we probably see ourselves a lot better fit for the playoffs if we do win that game against Minnesota in overtime. You know, as much as I want to say the Packers are going to make the playoffs, I can't say it with total confidence just because I think they're not as good a team as maybe we think they are or as some people have been led on to believe with what we've seen in the past. They're a completely different team with Aaron Rodgers, and that's been, you know, noted and seen, of course, across the NFL for the last 3-4 weeks. But, you know, do I think they'll make the playoffs? Honestly, I don't. I think we've missed our opportunity on this season. Would I love to see us make the playoffs? Yes. If we get into the playoffs, can we do some damage? I think we can. But I think we look out west and we see what those teams out west are doing and then take a look down in Carolina and New Orleans, and you really put yourself up against some really tough competition. And once you do, if you do, get in the playoffs. So.
Yeah, and I agree, Davey. I agree with Doug, Davey. As we sit here today, the chances of the Packers getting into the playoffs are, you know, maybe 15% to 25%. Things can change, as they always do in the NFL. So we may be singing a different tune next week. But as we sit right now, I'd have to agree with Doug, even though I'm a homer as much as anybody else, no, I don't think the Packers can make it.
Well, Ray, you know what I said earlier on Tuesday's show. I say they're going to the Super Bowl. And the reason I say that because, it's a fairy tale right now. Whether, you know, the old guard comes back and leads them to the promised land or the backup quarterback leads them to the promised land. It's such a fairy tale story. You can't make this stuff up. So, you know, I'm looking to ride that wave until they say that, you know, the fat lady's done. And until then, I'm going to think that I'm still invited to the dance until I'm told otherwise. Now, guys, we've only got a couple of minutes left. We normally get to our predictions and scores a lot earlier in the show, but we're talking about the playoff scenarios, which was a priority. So really, I kind of just need you to give me your scores and a quick summary on how you think the game's going to be played out. So Patrick, why don't you give me the first run and tell me how you think the game's going to play out and what your score's going to be for this Sunday.
All right. So I'll get right to it. I think the Packers are going to win. I think they're going to win 30-20. I look for the offense to look like the offense that we've come accustomed to. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to play. I think Matt Flynn is going to play, and I think Flynn, after having a few weeks to get himself acclimated with the offensive line, with the receivers, I think he's going to look much better. Dallas has got a terrible defense. Our defense needs to come to play. If they come in with a lackluster performance, then maybe I'm wrong.
Okay, thank you, Patrick. Mr. Doug, you want to share your thoughts for this Sunday?
I think Packers build upon last week's performance. I think if Matt Flynn plays, he's gotten the reps that he needs this week to score some points. Defensively, I think we get a touchdown. I think we force Tony Romo to make a bad decision, maybe a pick six or a fumble in the pocket that gets returned. I think Packers win 27-17, and I'd have to say that the over-under on how many cameos George – that Jerry Jones makes up in the press box is probably at 12, and I'm taking the over.
Okay, well, we thank you for that insight there, Doug. And Raymond, if you can keep it to about 20 seconds, I'll love you forever.
Okay, I'm going to be the naysayer today. I don't think the Packers have what it takes to go down to Dallas and win a game on a fast track. Maybe without Eddie Lacy, certainly without Aaron Rodgers. The defense, Tony Romo is going to carve them up. I'm sorry, he's just going to do it. I say Cowboys 27, Packers 17.
Boo. 27-17. Okay, fellas. Well, we certainly appreciate your time and your insights and wisdom this morning. We'd also like to thank our listeners for listening to the LombardiApp.com Packers Sports Panel Show here this morning on Blog Talk Radio. Be sure to catch us again next Tuesday morning at 8:30 for another edition of the show, where we will be discussing everything Green Bay Packers. Until then, for our own Patrick Hughes, fansided.com's Doug Ayton, and our own producer, Raymond T. Rivard, I'm your host, Davey Miller. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. Thank you, guys.